Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Old Humble Distilling Company. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe starts at 3. Jeremy and Joe begin at 3 weekdays. You want to debate it?
Not really.
Broadcasting
just
live.
Jerk.
You get one maple cinnamon sour at Brian, and he really throws caution
to
the
wind. Get a little lippy.
You enjoyed that sucker, though. That thing looks
so good. Joe, you got to get one.
I heard Joe say it's very good, too. It's an award-winning drink, isn't it?
Yeah, it won the best drink at the Westlake Houston area. I'm going to mess up the name now, but the Westlake Houston, the best drink of the night at their award ceremony. They had the best drink of the night the year before, too, their lavender old-fashioned as well.
Pretty sure you said watermelon.
Did I?
Not you.
That's what they said.
I think Joe.
I thought it was the lavender, but try the watermelon too.
Yeah, they're both very good. I had the old fashioned. Fantastic cocktails, fantastic drinks. Just drink it straight. That's good too. Old Humble Distilling Company, always a great. Tonight they have a little date night too. Bring the missus or the mister. I don't know. It's 2025.
Sure.
Maybe there's,
bring both. It's a throuple situation.
Maybe it's a. We have a lot of females that listen to our show. Softball Mom Allison. A lot of females listen to the show. Maybe they're bringing the mister.
Ryan?
Yeah, we're still unsure which way Ryan swings.
Yeah, well,
I'm still trying to get a date for Ryan?
Yeah, let's get him a date. Let's not worry about the other part of the conversation.
Once he gets a date, he can bring them here.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Maybe we could blind date it.
Mm. Ooh, yeah, we got a remote, I think, in November. Why don't we set up a blind date for that?
713-780-3776 if you're interested on a Friday date night at Old Humble Distilling Company with Ryan. haven't asked Ryan's permission. Don't really care. 713-780-3776. Some people on the text line. Man, Chase over Andre. Wow. I may be a homer, but Dre was a monster in his prime. On top of that, he didn't even have a good quarterback throwing the ball. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase went nuts yesterday with Joe Flacco.
At 40.
Yeah, the thing, I mean, the Andre part is just, it's the touchdowns, right? That kind of holds
him
back ultimately.
That's what holds him back, yeah. His high for a season was 9. Never had double digits in a season.
So, like, I get the argument for Andre from a Texans fan perspective because he was so good with such bad quarterback play. But, I mean, Chase is just, I think he's just on another level. Like, was Andre ever really, when you guys were doing this, when he was playing, like, were you guys having conversations about putting him with Rice?
No.
At the time?
No.
But, I mean, we were having conversations about Andre being the, top receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, versus Megatron.
In a Hall of Fame track,
probably
for sure.
A 3 to 5 year window. Like, okay, Andre's a number one receiver in the NFL. I don't know if we, in a Hall of Famer, I don't know if we ever graduated to the Andre Johnson as a top five wide receiver talent in the history of the game.
I don't think
we ever got there.
I never heard that conversation once. No.
I mean.
And he had some elite seasons. I believe he has multiple seasons over 1,500 yards. I think he has a season where he led the league in catches as well. So he was fantastic. But to Joe's point, like, it is a blemish. Now, you can explain the blemish of not having a double-digit touchdown season with, well, he played with a lot of mediocre to bad quarterbacks. Like, his best quarterback by far was Matt Schaub. But it's still a blemish nonetheless.
Yeah. He was great. But I think you got to go Ja'Marr Chase. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Do you want to guess the one record that I want Jose Altuve to break?
I feel like I saw the text line say it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, line did say it. Brian, do you want to take a guess?
I don't even have a guess.
The record that I most want Jose Altuve to break over anything else is I want Jose Altuve to break the record for the most postseason home runs.
Ah.
I want him to surpass that. The reason that it spurred this thought, George Springer hit a home run the other day, which now puts him fourth place, tied for fourth with Bernie Williams, as the most home runs in postseason history. And look, more playoff games, I get it. It's a little bit easier to do it now than it was back in the day. But Jose Altuve's one behind Manny Ramirez. Mm-hmm. Give me two more home runs in the playoffs, Jose. Come on, Jose. Let's get two more postseason home runs so you can be at the top of the mountain.
Maybe he can do it with Manny Ramirez as his hitting coach.
Stop it.
What?
I don't want Manny being my hitting coach.
Yeah, Manny wants to be a hitting coach.
I know he does. He's going to go away he's going to take a month sabbatical, too.
Batting practice is going to be inside the Green Monster.
Yeah.
Or it's inside
the
Crawford boxes, yeah.
No, I think it's of all the things that Altuve is chasing, it's obviously the most obtainable at this point. And, I mean, I'd feel pretty confident in wagering he breaks it.
I really want it. Okay. I wonder if you can get action there. 713-780-3776 if you want Joe's action on that. I'll hold the money in escrow. What would be the, if you had to handicap this? If
he's
you're
only
Vegas,
two away.
Right, but the Astros are currently not in the playoffs, and he didn't hit a home run last postseason. And he's 35.
How many more playoff games, if you had to guess, would Jose Altuve play in the rest of his career?
Over, under 5.5.
Over. Mm. I mean, like, I think they might play more than 5.5 next year.
Yeah, if they make a run. Okay, what would you set the number at?
Like 12?
Okay, so how many home runs is he getting over a 12-game span?
Two, at least.
He didn't get any last year in the playoffs.
I know, but last year was a weird year.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if they get home field advantage. You got the Crawford boxes right
I don't
there.
Think it's a slam dunk as you're making it out.
I'll take the wager.
I don't know if – like, he had a pretty good home run season this year. But even that, I don't think he was averaging one homer for every 12 games played.
Probably not. But it's Jose
I don't
Altuve.
Feel like doing the math.
It's Jose Altuve in the playoffs. So
I don't want you doing the math. So the only one that can do the math right now is Jeremy, if he cares to.
Right,
but
no more alcohol for you. Spicy Brian over here.
What would you handicap it at? He had 26 home runs this year in 155 games.
Plus?
So like one-fifth-ish.
Okay, so way better. Well, still, that's, I mean, 2-12 would be one out of every six. So I guess that's about right on his season pace or close to it.
Plus 200?
The Astros also have to get there.
I think they'll be back next year.
Okay. I hope you're right.
Plus 200?
It's okay. So you're saying you think he's going to do it, but then you're giving him plus money to do it.
So minus 200?
Are you just throwing numbers at the wall?
Yeah.
If I were,
he's the bookie. I'm trying to figure out what my odds.
I'm usually pretty decent at like predicting what
even
Vegas
money
is at the
minus 110.
I think he'd be plus.
I don't think he'd be plus money. I think he would be minus money. I think it would be 125. I think he'd be minus 125 to set the all-time home run record, postseason record.
Yeah.
713-780-3776. What would you put the line at? I think minus 125. I'm good with. I think I'm good with him minus one, but I really want him to do it.
Yeah.
I really want him to get that record. Wouldn't that be awesome that Jose Altuve's got the most postseason home runs of anybody in postseason history?
All 5'4" of them, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Why is he shrinking?
Because I don't think he's 5'6".
Nah, he's not that tall. He's not that tall.
I haven't stood actually like right in front of him ever, but I am 5'6".
I have, and I'm pretty short.
Is he taller
than
me?
You towered over him?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Is he taller than me?
How tall are you?
5'6".
He's about your height.
Okay. So no, maybe he's about your height. Maybe it's 5'6".
He's got you in width, though.
Because of muscle?
Yeah. Last year, Altuve played two playoffs games, and one was versus Skubal. Yeah, but he still didn't hit him one. Like, that's like, that might happen again next year.
Yeah, and he makes the playoffs next year. Guess who he might go against? Skubal. Yeah, or like someone
or
equally
Cole.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, we can't move
the goalpost.
Or Garrett
Crochet, or, yeah.
We can't move the goalpost on like, hey, well, he faced really good pitching. That's going to happen if you're in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Usually you're facing very good pitching if you're
and
in the playoffs.
And when he's been at his best, he's hit really good pitching in the playoffs. I mean, I think he had, what, two home runs off of Chris Sale in 17? And I can't remember who he had in the Dodgers game who he hit his home run off of. It might have been off of Kenley Jansen. Maybe that was Marwin.
Now,
I don't remember.
To the texter's point, he did hit four home runs in 23. So, like, to your point, he could be in the playoffs next year. They have a run to the ALCS, and he does it next year.
Yeah.
I might be selling it short at minus 125.
But he also – I don't think he even brought this up yet, so if he did, I apologize. He hit no home runs and had no RBIs the year they won the World Series. Right?
He had no RBI in the 22 tournament?
RBIs.
Until the World Series?
2022, he didn't have a single ribby.
In the postseason, yeah.
Not a single ribby.
So, I guess that works against my argument a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
But, I think he gets two. Like,
I think this really comes down to how many more times do you think the Astros are going to make the playoffs during Jose Altuve's tenure.
This texter says he puts it at minus 230, minus 260. See, I would take that bet. I would take minus the opposite of that, obviously. Like, I'm not going to give you minus 260. But I feel like that's value on the other way. Keith from L.A., he will not break the record. The Astros is not good. The Astros are not good, Keith from L.A. And he will retire before then. That means spoken like an Angel fan. So go enjoy Torrey Hunter as your manager, Keith from L.A.
Where's Mike Trout on the all-time list, Keith from L.A.?
This junkie, 3,000 hits, will get him in the Hall of Fame, not the record on postseason home runs. Yeah, but I don't really care. Like, I can't. I rather Jose Altuve have more postseason home runs of anybody in the history of the game and sacrifice the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I would, and I know that's not, like, real here, but in the hypothetical world, Jose Altuve in the Hall of Fame, Jose Altuve, the all-time record holder in home runs in Major League Baseball history. Which of the two would you rather have?
All-time record.
Me too.
I think I'd go Hall of Fame.
Well, okay. I think it's getting the Hall of Fame regardless. But
your scenario of Hall of Fame, like in this hypothetical, the Astros could miss the playoffs for the remainder of his career and still make the Hall of Fame. I like playoff baseball, Brian. I want to see playoff baseball more in Jose Altuve's career.
But that's not guaranteeing you're going to have a ton of playoff trips. Because like you
no,
to Joe's point, you could break it next year and then it's over.
But it's guaranteeing more playoff appearances than your path.
Fair.
And I'd rather have the path with more playoff appearances.
I wasn't looking like that. I was just looking at what's more prestigious. I think the Hall of Fame is more prestigious.
Yeah, you're looking at it from a casual point of view. I understand.
Also, I don't think
reckless.
I don't think he's getting to 3,000.
It's going to be tough.
He's at, what, 2,300 right now, roughly? 2,388.
This text says that Altuve, oh, yeah, he needs two to tie it.
Oh, does that say nine?
Yeah, I thought it was an eight.
I thought that was an eight, too.
Yeah, Manny has 29.
So now he needs three?
He needs three. Yeah, Manny, I thought that was 28, Altuve at 27, but that's bad graphics, and it's actually 29.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
I needed my cheaters. I don't have my cheaters.
So that makes it plus 125, then, instead of minus 125.
Maybe minus 115.
So I'll take.
Does that move it to plus money?
I think it moves it to plus
I
money.
I don't think it moves it to plus money, no. No.
I'm going to say yes.
Minus 110, minus 115. I think there. I'll take Corey Seager all-time before Altuve.
Ugh.
Seager at 19. Oh, he's saying all-time homers. He thinks Seager's going to break it. You know who I low-key like to set this record and to, like, be the leader in 20 years?
Who's that?
Shohei?
Kyle Schwarber.
Oh.
Kyle Schwarber's at 23.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to – it just depends on where he signs, I guess.
Yeah, what if – like, yeah.
Like, if he re-signs with the Phillies, I'll take Schwarber.
He's got five more playoff appearances?
Yeah, if he's with the Phillies, then yeah. Like, as long as he doesn't chase money and go to a bad team. Like, a lot of people have speculated the Reds for him.
Yeah.
If he signs with the Reds this offseason, I would say
no on
Schwarber.
What if he goes to the Yankees and he's got the short porch?
Oh, my –
yeah. And they're in the playoffs every year. Yeah.
He might break the home run record, the regular season home run record.
But a lot of people think he wants to go back to the Midwest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so like Tigers, Reds.
He's from Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. He hit a lot of regular season home runs there, but, yeah.
713-780-ESPN. Do you want Alex Bregman back? John Heyman mentioned the Astros for Pete Alonso, and the Astros started a starting pitcher. They signed a starting pitcher today. Nate Pearson, is he in your starting rotation on opening day? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe live from Old Humble Distilling Company on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Back to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Old Humble Distilling Company.
That's indeed where we're at, Old Humble Distilling Company. Fantastic drinks, the Maple Cinnamon Sour, award-winning. The Watermelon Old Fashioned, award-winning. Apple Blossom Old Fashioned, great spot. Great spot to have a cocktail. Great spot to have a good time. Steak Night Tuesdays, Happy Hour Wednesdays, Trivia Night Thursday, Date Night tonight, Friday. It's been eerily quiet on the amount of people who want to have a day with Ryan.
Yeah, unfortunate. It's
been very quiet on that front.
Sorry, Ryan.
713-780-3776. Still efforting a blind date with Ryan. 713-780-3776. Junkie on the text line, I want Altuve to get it. It would be the ultimate FU to all baseball fans. Sorry, still bitter about baseball disrespecting Altuve. That's a bunch of casuals, starting with Carl Ravage. Baseball, they've been stealing signs since the early 2010s. Mm-hmm. They've been stealing signs since the 1920s. You know what I indirectly heard recently from a source I will not name?
Okay.
Kansas City Royals in 2015 were cheating their tails off.
Wouldn't really?
Cheating their tails off.
Everyone was at that time.
Everybody was doing it.
I mean, we've had players go on the record about it. That's why, like, I don't understand how it's a conversation. Like, at any point.
It feels like
in
I've
time.
Heard pretty legit rumors about half the teams in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you've got
the Rockies, the Brewers, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean,
now we throw in the Royals.
Yeah, you've got the former Yankees catcher, was it Eric Kratz or whatever? He's the one who went publicly about the Rockies using the Theragun on the bench. You've got you know, the Cubs calling out the Milwaukee Brewers. They were passing signs from their bullpen. You can see it from the field. They were passing it on. And you've got Joey Votto going on the Dan Patrick show, acknowledging what the Astros did was wrong, but then it's saying everyone's doing it, and a lot of teams are doing it to this level. It's a stupid conversation. And honestly, for the people who, like, don't like the Astros because of it, it shows your lack of sports intelligence.
Oh, yeah. You're ignorant to it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and ignorant just means you're not informed. Like, you're ignorant to it if you don't believe more teams in baseball were doing it prior to the Astros. When did the Astros start doing it?
As soon as Carlos Beltran arrived.
17.
What was the story behind that?
That he brought it from the Yankees because he said the Astros were behind the times.
Yes. That's the key phrase there. Mm-hmm. He said that the Astros were way behind the rest of the league.
It's pretty funny, though, because, like, I've read Astro Ball, and it's funny how they talk about – because this was the Astro Ball was written before the sign stealing scandal broke out.
Yeah.
So the way that they're like talking about Beltran bringing the system over here is in a very positive light.
Yes.
Like they're using computers and like they're cutting edge and they're like they're catching up to baseball on the technology front and like what a great thing it was. And then it's like, oh no, never mind, you are cheating that way.
Yeah.
But it's funny. The timing of it's what's hilarious about the way that it's talked about and written in Astro Ball.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just it all goes back to like the reason why the Astros are in the position they are in terms of national perception is because the Major League Baseball Players Association let the team down.
Yeah.
Like, plain and simple. Mike Fiers ratted out, and then the Astros went in there, and they confessed everything. And then when they started calling other teams in, they said, no, 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 no. Do not talk about it publicly. Stop being Cody Bellinger and shaming the Astros because this is a problem across baseball. Stop talking about it. Don't admit to anything. It's like it's so clearly
obvious. You also got to throw Rob Manfred in there because I think he was more than willing to let one team be the scapegoat and 100%. Try to pretend like they were a rogue element when and pretend that it wasn't, you know, most of the league.
And he soft and cozy launched the Yankee letter that he spent his entire life trying to keep sealed.
Yep.
Like that was so weak. And like the fact that people don't see through that, like the letter says the Yankees were using Apple Watches to steal signs.
Yes.
And then he soft launched it and got a positive PR perception on it before it was actually unsealed to try to protect them. That was the weakest thing. And the people just fell for it. People just fell. Oh yeah, this is not a big deal. See, they were doing where you were using Apple Watches. Yes, that's electronically stealing signs.
Yeah.
Like, don't be foolish.
And that's why I think eventually, like, there'll be – the Astros will always be a villain. But I think there'll be a chance that, like, eventually the truth will come out at some point in some capacity. Like, there will be more truth that comes out about what happened in that
era.
Would
some of these people retire?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And a lot already has, like you mentioned. Like, Votto, like, it's whatever. Cabrera, oh, it's whatever. Kratz, oh, it's whatever. Bassett. Chris Bassett, it's whatever.
You think we ever get, a tell-all, though?
Probably.
From the Astros?
I don't know. I don't know if they have the personalities.
Like, yeah, like,
you don't think, like, Bregman at some point?
No.
Like,
if anybody does, it'd be Correa.
Yeah.
My only theory behind that would be, is if for some reason the snobs that vote on the Hall of Fame are using it to keep Altuve out.
Oh, yeah.
Could we see a tell-all documentary?
Try to clear his name.
That really unloads on everything that the Astros were doing, the players telling the truth, and throughout the documentary, like, just vindicating Jose Altuve. Even though that's what the numbers lay out.
Like, yeah, like, I can't remember the guy's name, but there was
Tony.
A guy that, remember, he tracked every single trash can bang in Altuve. I know he took a few, but he was at, like, the very bottom of the list. I think Marwin led the team in it, or he was near the top.
Yeah, it was Tony Adams.
Tony Adams, yeah.
We had him on the air like during peak that back in a previous radio life. Astros did sign a starting pitcher today to a major league contract, which is kind of weird timing because like there's players available right now. Nate Pearson is an Astro. 1 year, $1.35 million contract. Don't look up his career numbers; you're not going to be excited. But they did guarantee him a big league contract. They also, according to Chandler Rome, are going to try him as a starting pitcher.
Okay.
He has not been a starting pitcher in his career. He has started 6 games of his entire big league career in 123 appearances. 5.17 career ERA. His FIP is north of 5. Now, he does have good strikeout numbers, over a strikeout per inning, but the walks are also kind of high, about a half a walk per inning. I'm a baseball savant guy. I pulled up his baseball savant, which you really shouldn't look at his last year's baseball savant because that was he only pitched 14 innings. Mm. But his year prior to that, in 66 innings, the only thing that really stands out is that he throws very, very hard. He's a big boy, 6'6", 255, and throws very, very hard. 96th percentile with his fastball, Everything else is like below average. He does get strikeout. He does get whiff. And that's about it. My stance on this one, Joe, is that, look, it's the Astros. The Astros turn, like, chopped liver into guys who actually get big leaguers out. I'm giving the Astros the benefit of the doubt when it comes to Nate Pearson. It was only $1.4 million for a year. If Nate Pearson's actually the number five, number six starter next season and has like a 4.425 ERA, I actually think it's a win. Now, what's my confidence? He pitches to a 4.25 ERA and eats up 150 innings? Probably not high.
Yeah, I mean, the starter part is the one that I guess confuses me a little bit. Just because he's only done it six times in his career. I think he's been pitching in some capacity in the big leagues since 2020. Now, he only pitched 18 innings in 20 and then 15 innings in 21. But, like, his bulk of his career since 2023, he started two games.
It's weird.
So, it's like, so hearing him come in as a starter surprises me.
I mean once upon a time, that was his...
His draft profile.
Yeah, like, his draft profile as a former first-round pick, I believe, from the Woodlands or somewhere nearby, was as a big-time... power pitcher that was destined to be a starter. Obviously, it did not turn out that way. He had a lot of injuries while he was in Toronto.
He's from Florida.
Oh, he's from Florida? Who am I thinking of?
Jameson Taillon?
No. I'm thinking of someone else.
Kyle Drabek?
No, you know what? I'm thinking of the guy Shane Boz from Tampa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Shane Boz.
He went to Concordia Lutheran.
Yeah.
Played with Cabrian. I don't know if he played with Cabrian Hayes, but Cabrian Hayes also went to Concordia Lutheran.
But I'll tell you, Jeremy, like...
I was like, what?
I was like,
closest thing that I see to the Woodlands is that he's from Spring Hill, Florida.
Close enough.
The Woodlands.
Just stop at Spring.
Went to
the
College of Central Florida, went to FIU. I'm not sure this guy left the state of Florida prior to being a professional baseball player, Brian.
Maybe he had to stop at the at Bush Intercontinental Airport all the way to... Yeah.
His conviction, too. He's up in the Woodlands growing up to 6 foot six, 255. He knew what kind of kilt he was wearing as a Highlander. His conviction.
Nomination.
It's a project. It's a project.
Yeah,
Astros have been good with project arms, though. So.
I give them the benefit of the doubt, because I couldn't wait for him to get DFA'd this last year, watching him pitch for the Cubs.
Yeah, he pitched for the Cubs.
I was like, this guy stinks. He throws gas, but he had no control.
Yeah, he hadn't been good.
So it's like, but it's you said it was $1.3 million, $1.5 million?
Yeah.
It's a low risk, and so all it does is, like, he's an extra body in camp, and if you cut him, oh well. Like, it's a good move for what the Astros typically do, which probably means he'll be like this year's Jason Alexander.
Except, like, the opposite.
But with gas, yeah.
Jason Alexander with gas.
I mean, you can never have enough arms. They've been good at grooming arms. They must see something that they like here. Why not? It's $1.3 million. If he turns into your sixth inning, or I'm sorry, if he turns into your sixth starter / long reliever, that's a victory at $1.3 million. So that is what that is. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll talk Bregman later. It's the offseason. That's not going anywhere. 713-780-3776. Did you watch the Rockets' final preseason game of the year?
No.
You know what I'm so disappointed about? I watched the first half. My DVR screwed up.
Okay.
It DVR'd the ESPN broadcast, not the Shin. So I couldn't listen to any Hyperbolic Hollins. I got no Hyperbolic Hollins today. Maybe you do, 713-780-3776. But is Reed Shepard in the final preseason game of the year, has he changed your expectations for him? What'd you call him?
Baby H.
Oh. What's a better nickname, Baby H or Cocaine Curry?
Well,
for this show? Baby H.
Yeah.
It's more fun to call him Baby H.
You can call him Baby H. I'll call him Cocaine Curry.
Okay.
But has he changed your impression at all, Reed Shepard, after last night's preseason game where he balled out? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe live, Old Humble Distilling Company on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You got to get out to TDECU Stadium tomorrow. Houston Cougars 5-1, doing some things. Willie Fritz in his second year, doing what he does in his second year at places. Already surpassing last year's win total, win away from bowl eligibility. And it's homecoming tomorrow at TDECU Stadium. You got to be there, uhcougars.com/tickets, 713-GO-COUGS to get those tickets now. Tailgating starts at 8. It's going to be awesome. Cougs on Parade at 9:50 in Cougar Alley. Then you got your homecoming court presentation at halftime. Also, Cougs, if you're going to the game tomorrow, let's team up to tackle hunger on campus. You can drop off non-perishable food donations at any TDECU stadium gates to support Cougar Cupboard, U of H's on-campus food pantry. Your generosity helps provide essential resources for students in need. So make sure you bring those non-perishable food donations to any gate. We'll appreciate it. We'll love it. Cougar Cupboard, you're supporting that. Please help in any way that you can. Time to pack TDECU Stadium, Houston, Arizona for homecoming. Don't miss the pageantry, the pride, the roar of Cougar Nation. Kickoff at 11 a.m. tomorrow. And bring those canned goods, those non-perishable food items. This is Houston's team. Needs you to create a true home field advantage. Come early. Be loud. Wear red. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Old Humble Distilling Company. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Date night, Old Humble Distilling Company. Brian and Joe are enjoying one right now. Trivia night on Thursdays, happy hour on Wednesdays, steak nights on Tuesdays. Phenomenal cocktails, phenomenal spot, Old Humble Distilling Company in Humble. Junkie on the text line, I think over-hyping CJ was hyperbolic. Hypocrite much, Branham? I'm definitely a hypocrite.
Thanks, Kane.
There's no doubt that I'm a hypocrite. We all know that. But I don't think calling C.J. Stroud a top-10 quarterback was more hyperbolic than calling Clint Capela the second-best center in the NBA.
That's true. It's not even close.
I think there's a little bit of a gap there.
Yeah.
I'll wear my hypocrisy. I'll wear my own hyperbolism at times. But I don't think I've ever called a player of the caliber of Clint Capela the second-best at his position.
Nope.
I think there's a bit of a gap here, Kinger.
Yeah, there's a big one.
But good to hear from you. 713-780-3776. Reed Sheppard, did he do enough yesterday to change your perception of Reed Sheppard, or what is your perception of Reed Sheppard entering his sophomore season in the NBA?
No, it didn't change my perception of him. He looked good last night. I watched the highlights in the shorter game this morning. So I thought he looked good. But the problem is it's the same guy who's dropping 40 and 50 points in the G League last year, too.
I mean, Hawks were playing their starters.
I know, but like,
they weren't playing hard.
They're not playing hard. It's like when there's already like an effort problem in the NBA at times for defense, it's even worse in the preseason. So it was good to see him score like with that efficiency and to be able to score again like last night. So it made me excited, but it doesn't change anything for me. I got to see it against real competition.
Yeah, I mean, I like that he did it versus,
for
like,
sure.
Scoring
oh, yeah.
2 points on 2 of
yes.
16
yes.
shooting. But does it move my needle much that he did that against Atlanta in the final preseason game when nobody was trying? Mm-hmm. I was so mad that my DVR picked up the ESPN broadcast of this and not the Shin broadcast of this because it kind of ruins my bit of hyperbolic Hollins. Mm-hmm. But do you ever notice Mark Jones says really big words?
No. Does he?
I like Mark Jones. I think he does a good job. But he was saying words I've never heard of. Like, next time you catch Mark Jones, because he does football and basketball for ESPN, next time you catch a Mark Jones game, just write down the words that he says that you do not know.
Okay.
Look, like, it's insane.
Okay.
Like, so I got hyperbolic Hollins and I got big word Jonesy over here. But he even talked about it. Like, I think it was late second quarter where he's like, this has the tenacity of a pickup game at 24-hour fitness.
Yeah.
Like, they were not trying. Like, no one was trying. But, like, yeah, it was great that Reed had that performance and that he can do it at the NBA level with the effort being turned down. Hopefully he can still do it. The one thing that I will nitpick here, though, a lot of the ball handling stuff that concerns me with Sheppard, at least as a point guard, why I don't think he's a point guard, they still show up. Like, he's still getting his pocket picked first possession of the game. Mm. Like, so it's still noticeable to me that he is not the starting point guard of the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I don't think it is. It's going to be a man, and I really question just how Ime views him. Like, we saw what Ime did last year with benching Alpi and Jalen in critical situations. Like, you start a game off and he's getting picked by, SGA. He's not going to start opening night. But, like, how is Ime going to let that fly for long? No, he's not. Like, that's why I think I think there will be another point guard on this roster at the deadline, the latest. They have to wait until after December 15th, you know, for these free agency contracts to be allowed to be traded.
Yeah.
But it's pretty quickly into, you know, January. I expect there to be another point guard on this roster. And I'm glad it wasn't Russell Westbrook.
See,
that was the right move.
I think it could still be.
Really?
December 15th.
That's gross.
He's eligible to be traded. It's actually the only way you're getting Russell Westbrook anyways. The only way the Rockets were getting Westbrook is until he was a tradable contract on December 15th.
Yeah.
You couldn't sign him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he could still be in play.
Yeah, I just think there'll be other guys to choose from that you can make it work, that you can elevate your ceiling.
I hope they choose someone else.
Yeah, like I don't think like Russell doesn't elevate anything. He can't.
I don't want to add another non-shooter on the perimeter.
Yeah, and if you do, I want to add someone that can play defense. Like so, I think they're going to go a different route than that for making their playoff push. But yeah, I expect pretty much immediately they're going to make a trade as soon as they can because I don't think Reed's the guy. I don't know if Reed will get traded yet. Like I don't think they're going to.
No, I don't think they're anywhere near that.
Because you'd have to make a big trade to move Reed.
Look, I still like Reed. I want Reed to be a Houston Rocket. I just think he's a combo guard, two guard, not a point guard.
Yeah.
I don't think he's an on-ball guard. I just don't. I think he's a two. Can he give you like 10 minutes a game at the one? Maybe. Maybe. If the other team's not pressuring you and forcing him to like just to have any sort of ball handling, because he doesn't have great ball handling.
It feels like he's a bit positionless, though.
I think he's a two. I think he's a combo guard, too. Well, I think he's Jeff.
Offensively, but I struggle. And I mean, it depends on who else is on the floor, obviously. But if you had him at his height, his weight, his strength,
yeah.
Try to guard a normal-sized NBA two.
Yeah, but you can. The Rockets have enough.
I mean, maybe you can hide him, but.
That's the thing. The Rockets, like, we get caught up in the, oh, he's guarding the other team's shooting guard because he's playing the two on offense. That's not the case. He's going to be guarding the other team's worst offensive player.
Yeah.
Now, the opposition is going to do a bunch of pick and rolls and screen actions mm-hmm. and try to get him in mismatches. But that's why I actually think Reed Sheppard's defense improving is more important than his ball handling mm-hmm. improving. Because you don't need him to be the point guard. You need him to hold his own defensively.
It's what
I'm actually confident that he can at least hold his own defensively.
Yeah, I mean if he's open, he can hit shots. So but we saw how much better the Rockets were last year when Jalen Green figured it out defensively in the pick and roll. And like asking Reed to probably take that leap in year two is probably a big ask. But it just has to be better than so far with what we've seen.
Yeah.
Because coming out of college, like there was concerns about his defense, but
More about foot speed.
Yeah, but he had quick hands, right? Like he can
he does.
He can touch the ball. He can force turnovers and things like that.
He does that.
I feel like we haven't seen it enough yet in the NBA, and so that could change this year. I have very very low expectations for Reed Sheppard at this point.
I mean, they kind of told you a little bit with him being the only piece playing yesterday.
Yeah.
Every single rotational piece that's healthy did not play yesterday. He did. I think that is telling. Junkie on the text line, knowing what you know now, would Walter Clayton be a better fit here over Reed Sheppard? I like Walter Clayton's game. National champion, still not over that. I don't like him more than Reed, though.
No. No, Reed has the upside still over Walter. And Walter's a good player.
Sheppard needs to leave Houston to flourish. No respect here in Houston. That's not true. Plenty of people respect him. I don't want him to be a point guard. I want him to be a J.J. Redick. I think it's a better role for him. Not that he's ever going to be J.J. Redick, because J.J. Redick was very good, but I think that's a better role for him. I think he's more of a two. I think he's more Jeff Hornacek than he is John Stockton.
Yeah.
He's more off the ball than on the ball.
That'd be fine.
Rather John Stockton now at his age than Russell Westbrook. I wonder if he still lives in Spokane.
I think he lives in the Woodlands.
Yeah, you do. I bet you do. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Bad Take Boulevard. What are the worst takes of the week? Who belongs on the list this week? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe from Old Humble Distilling Company on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, listen up now. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer you can trust. They're transparent. They're not going to hassle you with pricing. You're going to get your car shopping done fast. What other dealerships can you say that about? That's why Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years. That's why they've helped generations of families get into new vehicles. And these families just keep coming back because they trust the people in Monument Chevrolet. Family feel there, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to a fantastic culture. Monument Chevrolet's extended truck month, too. Get 2.9% APR for 72 months. You're going to love it. Visit MonumentChevrolet.com. Check out their full inventory. The vehicle of the week, the EVs. Monument Chevrolet is offering amazing discounts on their Chevy EVs. You got the EV Blazer. It's speed, sporty style. The EV Equinox, it's spacious interior, clean, modern design, and long-range capability. Both come with a loaded, tech-focused interior. You're going to love it. Get a fair deal, a transparent deal, a no-hassle deal without wasting your time in those aggravating, stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, do it now at MonumentChevrolet.com to check out their full inventory, or go visit them in person, 225 and Bellway 8, massive lot. Their lot has road names. It's so big. Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together. Let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With Jeremy and Joe.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
For listening to me. Maybe Joe. Maybe Brian, not me, though. 713-780-3776. Bad Take Boulevard, what are the worst takes of the week? So, yesterday, I was walking into an establishment. I was looking at my Twitter because I'm on my phone way too much. I do the death scroll way too much. Lance Zerlach, this is during the Brewers-Dodgers game. He tweeted out that he's not sure he wouldn't take the Miz over Paul Skeens.
I saw that too.
He has since deleted this.
No, so soft.
He has since deleted this tweet.
That's soft.
I wonder if Michael Connor
stand by it.
Connor might have got some this morning.
No, he deleted it before the night was over. Because I responded to it like what I do with any sort of like hot text or whatever, or tweet, I mean, is I'll just put like spicy. You know, spicy. Because I like spicy takes. I like hot takes. They're fun. They might not be right, but they're a lot of fun. And I put spicy, and he liked it, so I could see, like, what I responded to. And I was, like, trying to look at other comments, and it said the user deleted the tweet.
That's disappointing.
It was last night. I mean, he tweeted it probably around 6:30, and it was deleted by 8.
Now, look, Mizorowski is nasty.
Okay.
But he's not Paul Skeens.
Skeens is, like, all-time nasty through the first – what, 2.5 seasons of his career?
Paul Skeens looks like a guy who's going to be one of the most generational players we've seen.
Yes.
And Mizorowski could be one of the best pitchers in baseball, but I don't know if he's going to be generational.
There are levels to this.
Are we even sure he's going to be like an ace yet?
I mean, he's looked so good in the postseason so far. He just throws so fast.
Look, I understand he's a rookie. We're looking at an ERA north of 4.
Yeah, he's got some. Well, he's got some control issues.
Yeah, and there's still plenty of time for him to figure that out and still be a good pitcher. But north of a 4 ERA, do you want to know what Paul Skeens did in his rookie year?
Sub 2.
Paul Skeens was a 1.96 ERA, third in the Cy Young.
I believe his career ERA is, if it's over 2, it's barely.
It's under.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
He was 1.96 last year. He's 1.97 this year, led the National League.
My goodness.
I'm sorry. The Miz could, I mean, he could be a future ace. But he's not in the same PNC ballpark as
Paul
Skeens.
You could double Paul Skeens' ERA, and he'd still be lower than Miz.
Yeah. I mean, there's not – I mean, even just, like, general pitchers in baseball. Like, how many guys are – is there anyone above Paul Skeens right now?
No.
No.
I mean, like, Scooble's probably the closest guy.
Scooble and Skeens are probably
the
top
two.
Tier.
Yeah.
So those are. I think those are very clearly the top tier. And then you have a bit of a drop-off, and then you have, like, your Crochets.
Yeah.
Your Hunter Browns, I think, would be in that mold. You might have Crochet ahead of Hunter Brown, but I think Hunter Brown would be in that
Skeens
second
tier. Skeens a tier all by himself?
Yes.
I would
agree. No.
I
think Skeens and Scooble, I think.
I don't know. I think I would go Skeens tier one, Scooble tier two by himself, and then the conversation happens
I'm
after
fine
that.
I think I'd go in Skeens, Scooble, top tier.
Yeah, I would put them together, but I don't. I understand your argument, Brian.
Scooble's a freak too, man.
No, for sure. Just Skeen's numbers are unheard of. I mean, it's like it's like Pedro in his prime.
And
they pay
for the two cheapest organizations.
He's the Miz, and he's awesome. I couldn't believe that Lance said that. But you know what's worse? The worst, though, is the delete.
Yeah, the worst.
You got to own that ish.
I think that's the bad take.
I think more than anything. Bad. I think that one's better.
Yeah, it's way worse.
Better. Well done.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Channel 2, KPRC, what are we doing here?
Oh, no.
They had the news the other day on Wednesday. This was ahead of the UTEP-Sam Houston game.
Okay.
UTEP-Sam Houston played Wednesday night at the soccer stadium. They had a grand total of 428 people inside of the soccer stadium to watch that game. But KPRC, you know how they do the news and they do the weather, and then they'll be like, hey, it's going to be 84 degrees on Wednesday night to watch your UTEP Miners and your Sam Houston Bearcats. Don't say the state. They dropped the state. Instead of using Sam Houston's logo, they used U of H's logo.
Oh.
They had UTEP versus Houston, 6 p.m. tonight. They Yikes. Had this on a Wednesday telecast. Channel 2, KPRC. You made the list.
Yeah, that's deserved.
You made the list.
You can't get the wrong team.
They went. They put a Houston logo instead of a Sam Houston logo.
Did they apologize?
You made the list. I don't know. A lot of apologizing to Houston lately.
There is a lot.
What who do you think made the mistake? Like the graphic importer or like
an intern?
Someone who made the graphic?
An intern?
Would you trust an intern to make the graphic?
I don't think the intern's making the graphic.
I mean, TV interns are paid, I think.
There's certainly this TV intern knew nothing about ball.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you know, like a true journalist now, that like reads like Shakespeare and stuff.
I like the TV people, the sports TV people, but there's a lot less these days in this market.
Oh, yeah. This was weather, to
so
be fair.
It's very logical that there's not many people at that station that cover sports in any capacity.
Yeah.
So that's probably why this slipped through.
They have, like, the crime reporter like, yeah. making the graphic of the sports match.
Yeah, I mean, we know what happened at Fox. So.
Do we? I don't know what happened at Fox.
Well, they got rid of their sports department.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, sort of.
Yeah, sort of.
They've channeled you. You make the list. Adam Schefter. This was before Callahan got fired. Like 5 minutes before Callahan got fired, Adam Schefter was on Pat McAfee and said this.
I don't see, it doesn't mean I'm right, but I don't see a coaching move being made anytime soon. Of course, there are going to be coaches who lose their jobs. It happens every year. And it's become sport within the sport of the National Football League to see it happen. But I don't think, and for all I know, we're going to hang up here and someone's going to get fired. But I don't see a head coach losing his job. I don't see, you know, Brian Callahan obviously has come under intense criticism. I don't see that happening soon.
There you go. I don't like that Adam Schefter's taking the soft stance here.
Yeah, it's a soft stance.
No, I don't think it's going to happen, but I never know.
Well, and then to be that wrong that quickly is brutal.
Yeah.
It feels like half that clip was him trying to like backpedal out of eventually being proven wrong.
Yeah.
And it was within an hour.
So soft.
Like, yeah. It's a soft take.
Soft
and then it was
take.
So wrong.
Softer that or Lance deleting his tweet?
Oh, Lance deleting his tweet.
Lance
They're kind of similar, though.
I think, now, look, I'll give... There's worse in this market for people that delete tweets that work in radio.
You want to name names?
Yeah, P. Crate. Like he deletes all of his tweets.
That's a philosophy though.
Yeah. Okay.
It is.
Yeah. So they can never find your bad takes.
I think it's to be like marked safe from like being canceled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which also bad takes, kind of the same thing.
I mean, different strokes for different folks.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah. I feel like you have more to say.
No, it's okay.
After you make the list, though. What's worse, softer takes or bad takes?
Softer takes?
I agree.
I would, yeah. Same.
I think softer takes are worse than bad takes.
I'd rather be like, getting the text that we get about me, that I have bad takes all the time, than never having a take.
Like, have a take. Say what you believe.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're going to be right. Sometimes you're going to be wrong. It's
fine.
Don't be soft about it.
Have a take, don't suck. Yeah. A great man once said.
I don't even care if you suck. Just be macho.
Just have a take.
Patrick Beverly, he had this take the other day. He said, I don't know if it's the wine, but I really believe this Aces team could beat an NBA team.
Yeah, I guess, and then I have to include myself.
Yeah, because you also think of the Aces.
2-79.
I said two, yeah. And then I was looking at the over-unders. For this year.
Yeah.
And the Jazz are at 19.5.
Oof.
And I'm like, man, the Jazz are at 19.5, and I said a WNBA team could have two wins. Wrong.
If the Jazz and the Aces played at 82-game series.
Yeah, Lauri Markkanen scores 100 points.
How many games do the Aces win?
Zero.
Zero. Yeah.
Zero.
Lauri Markkanen might average a quadruple double.
Yeah, have a take, even if it's bad. Also be okay with walking it back.
That's okay. I mean, things change. Anyways, you made the list, Patrick Beverly. Joe wanted to find Kirby Smart on Monday because Kirby Smart lied to the officials whenever he called the timeout and then said he was clapping. Joe wanted to find him for lying.
Oh, you said George Kirby. Okay.
Did I say that?
Yeah, I think you said George Kirby. I was confused. Kirby Smart. Okay.
I combined Joe George and Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
Joe George wanted to find Kirby Smart for lying to the officials. That he said he was calling a timeout, or he was calling a timeout,
it's soft,
but he said he was clapping, and then Joe wanted to find him. I started to think about this a little bit more, and it's a little bothers me that I thought about it a little bit more because I don't like to take my work home with me. And I was like, what does Joe think about like playing poker? What do you think of somebody who bluffs
That's a different conversation.
How is it different? He bluffed the officials into thinking that he didn't call a timeout for strategic purposes. It's the same thing.
I don't agree. I'm not going to back down.
He bluffed the officials for strategic reasons that gave him a better chance to win the game.
It's the
same thing as bluffing with a busted straight.
Nope.
Same thing as bluffing with a 7 high.
Our coaches should have high morale.
Oh, come on.
What about Phil Ivey?
You don't believe that.
What about Kid Poker?
Well, he's a scumbag.
What about Phil Hellmuth?
He's fine.
Who's a scumbag?
Ivey.
I disagree.
He's gotten kicked out of casinos for cheating.
Yeah, but the casino...
You're taking big casino signs?
Yeah, here's the thing, though, about that. The casinos gave him everything that he wanted in order to play whatever game he was playing.
It was baccarat?
Yeah, you know how he broke the casino on that? He wasn't bending the cards like people reported, or marking the cards.
Yeah.
He picked up a tell on the cards.
Yeah, he was memorizing them.
There's a pattern on the back of cards, and he memorized the patterns on specific cards.
Yeah.
And whenever he went, I forget what game he was playing. It was a weird game. But he told the casino, I want to play one deck, high roller, let's play for big money. And they said yes.
Yep.
And one of the casinos he did it paid him out, and then I think he did it overseas, and they said, hey, we're going to wire it to an American casino. And then they're like, no, we're not going to do it. Here's why you cheated us. Yep. And it blew up. Like,
yeah,
I think they just didn't know. Why didn't he go
patterns.
To jail? Like, you do that stuff, you're in prison.
Well, like, you don't go to prison for counting cards. You just get, like, blackballed from casinos.
It's kind of similar to counting cards.
Yeah, like, it's not...
I think there's...
Is it illegal?
I think so, yeah.
Or is it just, like, immoral?
It depends on what you're doing. Like,
yeah.
You can do things that you're, like, breaking the house that would be considered illegal.
Yeah, but, like, honestly, like, who's at fault there?
I think it's the casino.
Isn't it the card company?
Well, I think the casino should have probably not played with one deck.
Like, how does the card company know that someone's... not going to catch
also,
on
like,
at some point.
If you're like the main casino person who's making these rules, did you ever watch Las Vegas on TV?
Yeah.
Who was that guy, James Caan or whatever? Like, if you're making those decisions and you have like one of the most notorious poker player of all time that's making these weird requests, would you say yes?
Yeah, you'd be like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah, if he asked to play
for a little bit.
That throws up a red flag.
If he asked to play for a single deck, aren't you going... why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't you asking yourself, why does he only want to play with the single deck?
50,000 a hand? Nah, bro.
Yeah, and it's like, and I'm sure his argument was just like a superstition kind of a thing.
Yeah, he's quirky.
But it's like, come on.
Yeah. But Joe makes the list for wanting to fine Kirby Smart for bluffing the officials. Chase Daniel, he tweeted out on September 7th, 2025, I tried telling you guys, this is after week one. A week one loss, by the way. I tried telling you guys Justin Fields is that guy poised for a breakout season.
Okay.
Chase Daniel.
Why does anyone want to have takes on Justin Fields anymore? All it does is put you on this list.
He's a hot take artist, Chase Daniel.
Yeah, but
I mean,
like...
He never started a quarterback. He wants to make his hay in the media
world. But like for Justin?
I don't know, man. It's weird.
He's great in the fourth quarter when his team's down big and he's got a cover. That's about it. That's about it.
All right. Chase Daniel doesn't know NFL ball, but we do. Top NFL stuff. All of these injuries are wild, man. These things are crazy, all of these injuries. We'll take a look at who's in, who's out. Top NFL stories around the league. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live, Old Humble Distilling Company on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, but before we go to the break, I got to tell you about Burger Chan, my favorite spot to get a tasty burger in the entire city. And if you've never been, first off, shame on you. Second off, when you walk in, what you notice right away is they have a paper menu for you to look at and customize your burger exactly how you want. Or you can get one of their chef-inspired burgers, which top of their menu, very tasty. Let me tell you about some of those. See if this piques your interest a little bit. First, their Burger Chan burger, the burger named after the restaurant. It's a 2-ounce, 2-patty burger on brioche with cheddar, sautéed onions, Thousand Island dressing, and tomato. Or you can get the barbecue burger, cheddar, bacon, onion strings, pickles, barbecue sauce, or how about a patty melt served on rye bread, of course, cheddar and Swiss, sautéed onions, and Thousand Island as well. And the options aren't limited there because, again, you can fill out that little menu your own. You're creating your own burger, a unique burger, every time you go in. You want avocado on it. You want sautéed mushrooms, fried onion strings, avocado, kimchi relish. You can do any of those things at Burger Chan. Get the burger any way you like it, regardless of how you like it. Rejoice that Burger Chan has extended their hours, more time to try their menu. Burger Chan now open open Monday for lunch and open for dinner service Wednesday through Saturday until 9 o'clock. That is such a treat, because as someone who gets off work at 6 o'clock, Burger Chain used to be closed. Now they're open until 9 o'clock Wednesday through Saturday. But you'll want to stop by on Mondays in particular, because they're partnering with us to celebrate big wins this football season on Victory Monday. Any Monday after the Texans win, or Tuesday in this case, stop by Burger Chain to claim your free side with the purchase of an entree. I mostly go with the burgers, but they also make delicious chicken sandwiches, fried fish sandwiches, hot dogs, falafel, and breakfast sandwiches as well, which are served all day, by the way. Just stop by on the Monday after Texans win, or Tuesday this week. Mention my name, Brian. Mention ESPN 97.5, or just say Go Texans, and you'll get a free side with your entree. Burger Chan, best burgers in the city. Find them at 5353 West Alabama, and see their full menu at BurgerChanHTX.com.
ESPN 97.5.